Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, Chris Malone from the 98.5 KTK Morning Show. Here we go with your recap for today, Tuesday, December 10th, 2024. Never, when you're cooking or baking that involves eggs, when you crack them and you have those empty shells, never put them back into the egg carton, even if you're just using it for a couple of seconds or so, because you know that raw eggs have the potential of containing salmonella. And then nobody really wants salmonella poisoning this time of the year. I don't think you'd want it at any time of the year. But what happens is that you sometimes people will crack the eggs, put it, the egg goes in the bowl, and then they put the empty shell back into the carton. If you have raw eggs that you're going to put back into the refrigerator, that's a really, really bad idea. One is that you have the crass contamination that is that could happen. And secondly, something you would tend to think that wouldn't happen because you're refrigerating the eggs, salmonella, the coldness of the refrigerator doesn't kill it. It just slows it down, and it seethes. And it gets angrier. I don't know if it gets angrier, but you get the idea. Just put the eggshells separately from your raw eggs. Make sure that they're away, that you don't cross-contaminate, all right? This time of the year, especially in the winter where the air is dry, the likelihood of getting a static charge that is discharged as you shake somebody's hands or pass somebody by with a little pop there, some static electricity, it increases. And there are a couple things that you can do to kind of alleviate your risk of getting a little bit of a shock. One of them is to constantly touch metal objects. For instance, when you come out of your car, make sure you're touching the frame of your car because that's metal. And that actually discharges any sort of static electricity you have built up. Also, if you are going to be walking around on carpets, those rubber-soled shoes, those tennis shoes that you love so much, actually is a great insulator and build up a lot of static electricity in your body. Better if you're going to be on carpet to walk around in leather-soled shoes. All right, there's that for you. What is the word of the year? This time of the year is when a lot of lists come out encapsulating how we're going to remember 2024. The Cambridge Dictionary people reveal their word of the year. And they also point out the fact that they are mesmerized by how much the English language constantly evolves with new words. But the word of the year is not a new word. In fact, it's been around for centuries. That word is manifest, M-A-N-I-F-E-S-T, which its current definition, according to the Cambridge Dictionary, is to use methods such as visualization or affirmation to help you imagine achieving something that you want in the belief that doing it will make it more likely to happen. Maybe rubbing a a rabbit's foot, if you want to get a home run or something like that, that could be considered a manifest as well. But it's an old, old word. In fact, early, as far back as the 14th century, Geoffrey Chaucer, best known for writing the Canterbury Tales, used manifest, M-A-N-Y-F-E-S-T, as an adjective to mean obvious. And since that time, manifest, the spelling and the definition, has kind of evolved until its current meaning and spelling back in the early part of the 20th century. But recently, according to Cambridge, manifest has really become a big buzzword in the belief that thinking positively or visualizing your goals can bring them into reality. The officials state that manifest has been looked up almost 130 times on the Cambridge Dictionary website, making it one of the most viewed words of 2024. Now, this story was about tailgating, and I'm going to admit, I'm not going to change anyone's mind about tailgating, especially people who do tailgate. I, for one, used to do it a lot when I was younger, but then, you know, I was 10 foot tall and bulletproof as well. And I have a different stance on it as I have gotten older. But believe it or not, tailgating actually makes traffic worse. You ever been on a road and you, all of a sudden you see cars put on the brake lights and you start to, everyone starts to slow down. And then you're almost to a stop. And then traffic miraculously starts speeding up. And you're wondering, what the heck was that? There's a really good chance somebody up further on the road was tailgating. And here is the theory, at least according to MIT. This is what I put out this report. They say that when you are driving safely, in order for traffic to move as fast as possible, vehicles need kind of a buffer zone. They need to be evenly spaced on the road, in front and behind. That is in the event of something happening that you'll have enough time to react and keep yourself safe. But when you get a tailgater involved, that buffer zone is drastically reduced. The tailgater will get close to a car they want to move or get past, and they may get a little bit too close and tap their brake. That will happen as the car behind the tailgater will tap their brake. The car behind the tailgater will tap their brake. So it starts this ripple effect of cars just putting on their brakes because the brake lights in front of them have come on. There's not, and so what happens is eventually this all catches up like a big wave coming further back on the roadway, causing traffic to slow down. And as I said, this is not going to change anybody who constantly tailgates. That's not for me to decide. Why I brought it up, because I thought it was a good way for you and I, who don't like tailgating, to be really kind of cautious and aware of your surroundings when you're driving. If you find somebody that's tailgating you, try and move out of the way for them. And yes, I know, they're breaking the law. They're probably, you know, not a person you don't really want to hang with. They're probably, you know, they're driving dangerously. Yes, all of that, that is that person. But you've got to look at the big picture, right? The big enchilada, as it were. Do you want everyone to slow down? Do you want people to slow down and run the risk of having an accident? No, it's not worth it. Let the tailgater go. They apparently have to be somebody really, really quick. Eventually, they'll get caught. Don't worry about it. And that's not your job. Your job is to make sure your family is safe. So it's one of those things just to really, when you're driving and you notice a tailgater, let them pass. Otherwise, this braking thing's going to happen, and it's just going to make a lot of people's day more miserable because we're constant delays in traffic of braking all the time. The least liked candy, Christmas candies. And, you know, I guess with all these lists, you know, you would agree with them and you'll disagree with them. I think this list covers everyone as to the agree and don't list, don't like. According to candystore.com, they surveyed about 11,000 customers to find out the least popular Christmas candies. Coming in the 11th place was the classic peppermint candy cane. Surprising. Number 10 was ribbon candy, which I would have thought would have been a lot higher up on the list. And maybe it's just more of a generational thing, but I can remember going to my grandmother's and she'd have that crystal dish of ribbon candy that you would lift the top off and you would have to chisel a shard of it off in order for you to eat. And hopefully you wouldn't, you know, poke a hole in your cheeks or your gum trying to eat that ribbon candy. But in any case, that landed number 10 on the list. Number 9, peppermint bark. Non-peppermint candy canes, like the fruit-flavored ones that are different colors. They came in eighth place. Seventh place was the old-fashioned hard candy mix. Chocolate orange at number six. Peeps at number five. Least liked candies. I agree. Peeps should remain in Easter. And that's that. Number four is candy corn, or better known as reindeer corn that comes in Christmas colors. Then we get up to the top three. Number three was a surprise to me. The Lifesaver storybooks. Maybe because it's nostalgia, I like them. I used to like getting them, especially the cherry-flavored ones. I didn't like the multicolored, but I loved all the cherry-flavored ones. That's number three on the list. Number two, Christmas nougat candy. And the number one least liked Christmas candy, according to candystore.com, cherry cordials. I don't think I've had one in years. I couldn't tell you, but it doesn't sound appetizing. And then finally, we talked about getting paid to put ads on your car. And this is one of these things you really need to be aware, cautious, I should say, if this is something you want to do. And the idea behind this is that if you do drive a lot, you could turn your car into a moving billboard and will get paid anywhere from $100 to $500 a month, which is pretty easy money if you're getting paid for something that you already do. And these ads take the forms anything from maybe a sticker or a decal in your car all the way up to fully wrapping your vehicle. Now, to get started, a couple of things you'll need to have as kind of a prerequisite. You got to have a clean driving record, kind of a newish car, maybe made in the last 10 years. And you'll need to drive at least typically around more than 30 miles per day. If this all works for you, there are companies like Carvetize, Carvetise, and Wrapify that offer programs. They'll wrap the car for you, and you will start to get paid. But, you know, just kind of keep in mind, this sounds almost too good to be true, and that's why you got to do your homework on these things, because there are scammers that are looking for you to misspell or perhaps to click on a link that offers it, and game over. So you'll want to make sure that you check with the Better Business Bureau first, the Federal Trade Commission as well. You can go to their websites to see if the web address of the company you're dealing with has been reported for some sort of a scam, okay? And always keep in mind, regardless of anything that you are doing, any sort of service work you're having performed, generally, 99.9% of the time, you're not going to have to pay anything up front. The only time you have to pay up front is that you've had a problem in the past of paying your bill when something is complete, or it's a scam artist. All right. So wanted to pass that along for you this morning or this evening, whenever you're listening to the podcast. And that's it for Tuesday, December 10th, 2024. I'm Chris Malone. Thank you so much for listening. Always welcome your comments, feedback, and suggestions by email, CMALONE@AUDACY.com.